One of my favorite games I like to play is called Stump the Rector. Some of you might have played it with me before. It has many iterations and variations. Stump the chaplain, stump the priest, stump the rector. You can play this game with children, with youth, young adults, anybody can play this game. And I really like it because oftentimes people have questions that they're working on that they've never quite had the opportunity to ask, and ask somebody who wants to try and answer it. And so we've done this a lot around here. Every time this happens, I laugh a little bit. I wonder a lot. But only one time have I been stumped. It happened a couple years ago. We were at a newcomer gathering, and we had people write down their questions on 3x5 cards, and we gathered them all up in this basket. And we're going through, and there was questions about theology. You know, often there's a question about theodicy, or why do good things happen to bad people? Why do bad things happen to good people? How do you make sense of this? There was a question about King Henry VIII. There is always a question about King Henry VIII. How these things seem to go. There was a question about liturgy, about why we worship the way we do. And then there was this question. And the question was like so simple, so straightforward and obvious. It was just stunning. The question was, how did All Souls Parish get its name? And I had no idea. And which I said, that is incredible. I have no idea. So what I did is what any person here at All Souls might do. I went to our parish archivist. I said, Thomas Burcham, tell me, how did All Souls get its name? And Thomas said, I don't know. And that's when we were really stunned. I mean, like, if Thomas doesn't know how we got our name, then how are we going to figure this out? So asked all kinds of old-timers, and no one knew. Well, a couple years later, we were doing this project for the College for Congregational Development. We were researching about how All Souls has come to understand money, how we use it. And so Marilyn Flood looked back into the archives of St. Mark's Church, because that was our mother church. And we looked back, and we found some things that gave us an idea. Nothing that we were sure about, but all of a sudden we had at least something to work with about why we might be who we are. But before we talk about All Souls, I think we have to go back a little bit further and talk about All Saints. So this is the Feast of All Saints, and some of you may know that in the New Testament, especially in the letters that were written at the time, they talk about saints a fair amount. So today, in this letter to the Ephesians, we have the use of the word saints, and it's this Greek word hagioi, and what it means is holy ones. Holy ones, right? People who, it's really clear, the Holy Spirit has come close. In the language of this letter, marked by the Holy Spirit. Pay attention to that phrase because we will be using it later. In time, though, it wasn't just used for those who were marked by the Holy Spirit. In time, this idea of what a saint is started to get narrower and narrower and narrower. Right? As we celebrated the feast days of those who were so amazing that it was really clear that God was with them. Again, though, it got so narrow that by the 9th century, we were celebrating the Feast of All Saints, and we were doing it on November 1st. And it wasn't just All Saints. We were, you know, the Feast of St. Sebastian or St. Peter or St. Paul, but it was a very narrow understanding of what it meant to be a saint. It basically meant that you had to have a miracle attributed to you after you died. So what about the rest? So in the same 9th century, we think it's in Paris at the Abbey at Cluny, they started celebrating a mass for all souls, all who had died. And we surmise that this was because people realize, well, okay, so these are the saints, and that's great, and they are with God. But what about my brother? What about my aunt? What about my daughter? What about those people who have died? Where are they? And so out of this very heartfelt need, the church recognized a way that God can be known, which is this feast of the faithful departed known as All Souls. And so maybe this is a clue as to why All Souls Parish is named All Souls. We go back to 1904. The University of California is growing and growing, which means the city of Berkeley is growing and growing, and it's growing all into this area, which was known as the Wilds of North Berkeley. Yeah. And so St. Mark's wanted to plant a chapel here for Sunday school and for the people of this area. And we were gifted with this land, the corner of Cedar and Spruce, by a woman named Louisa Kellogg. And it was given in honor of her late husband, Dr. Martin Kellogg. Now, he had been one of the founders of UC and served as its president for a while. But one of the reasons I wonder about why Louisa made this decision is because she and Martin had lost two children in infancy. And the year before she gave this land for this church, their young adult daughter had died. And 4 months later, Martin himself died of exhaustion after a surgery. Within a year, Louisa gave this land for this church to be named All Souls. I can't help but wonder, after losing children, after losing her husband, was she putting her trust in a God who embraces all souls? So we come to this time of year. And in the back of the church there, you can see there's this Celtic tree of life. That is just one expression of many strands across the globe of Christianity who at this time of year come to this thin space where the veil between life and death seems to part. And they do this out of this sense of wanting to know, what is this life about? Does death have the final word? And I don't mean just death like our own death. For me, in my faithful moments, I look across the expanse of time and I see us in the hands of a merciful God. And then there are those moments of fear where you look across the expanse of time and you wonder, is this just headed? Are we just facing nothingness? We bring this to this day of all the saints and souls. But of course, this is not the only kind of death, right? Yes, this day when we meditate on death and life, on finitude and eternity and our own mortality, we find ourselves part of a culture that seems intent in some ways around death. I mean, I can't speak for your experience, but I will speak for mine. In the last weeks and months, it's like this election is building up to a crescendo? And here we are. It's like it's the spirit, the feeling of this country. It's like coursing with fear and distrust around us. And here we stand. And so what I have realized this week is that those who have set this space aside, have framed this day of All Saints and All Souls, they have given us a way forward. I don't know about you, but I draw great strength and comfort and resolve from the saints, because so many of them lived in times of tremendous trial and tribulation, and yet they were able to live in it and with it and through it. And I think part of the ways that we see it are in our lesson today, our gospel from Luke's passage. Jesus is out. This is the Sermon on the Plain, and he's talking with his disciples. And he gives this radical message, right? These blessings. Blessings on those who hunger. Blessings on those who are poor. Blessings on those who are brokenhearted. Why? Because he wants them to know. He wants us to remember that this is where God's heart remains, even when we do not. And that is why, with those blessings, Jesus offers these woes, right? These woes to us who prize our self-sufficiency, who do not need to depend on anybody else. Woe to us who insulate ourselves with food, or with money, or with status, or with entertainment, anything we can do to avoid the suffering in us and around us. And so the question I've been wondering with this passage from Luke's gospel and this feast of all the saints is, how do you know a saint? And I think you know a saint because how they suffer with another. Right, that is what compassion is, to suffer with. The saints suffer with another. For us, we have a way forward. Right? We have this text from Luke's gospel. After the Beatitudes, what does Jesus teach? Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good for those who hate you. Pray for those who hurt you. Now, friends, this is not an ideological agenda. It is certainly not a political platform. If this was your political platform, I don't know how many elections you would win. But it is Jesus, the Jesus way, right? It is the parables he taught. It is the life he led, it is the death he died, it is the way for us. In a few moments, we will be baptizing four souls. One of them happens to be an adult, Cherie. I'm going to embarrass Cherie here for a little moment. So Cherie grew up, the home she grew up in did not have a religious practice, but something in Cherie knew that she was beloved of God. She knew this truly and deeply. And while others around her were being baptized, she thought, well, why? Why do I need to be baptized? I know that God loves me. I love God. Why do this? And it was recently when Cherie realized a truth. And that truth is why she will be baptized here today. And the truth is this. Cherie realized that we are family. She knew she was loved of God. She knew that God would be present with her. But she wanted to be able to live that out with sisters and brothers. Be responsible for others as she is held by them. And this is what we do, right? God only knows what is going to happen on Tuesday. It could be that once the election is over, all these things will clear. I don't think so. And actually, in many ways, they shouldn't, because there are things in this country we need to deal with. But we cannot deal with them alone. It is not possible for me to say, oh, but I'm over here and you're over there, you go deal. And this is why we come to baptize, to realize we are of one family, not just the people sitting right here in this place and time, but across time and across space. We gather here this day, friends, to remember. We remember those whom we love and we see no longer. We gather this day to remember that all souls are mine, saith the Lord. No one is outside of the embrace of God. And we gather this day to remember that we are to live, to love, and yes, even to suffer one with another.